Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined, I'm very pleased to say, by one of the preeminent scholars as well as practitioners of nuclear deterrent strategy. He is Dr. Keith Payne. He has served in a number of capacities in government and on various commissions, notably in the Department of Defense and the Congressional Commission on Strategic Posture of the United States. He is the author and co-author and editor of hundreds of articles and books and monographs. I'm most prolific and really highly, highly regarded authority on the issues we're going to be talking about with him today. Keith Payne, you were, of course, the president and co-founder of the National Institute for Public Policy at the moment. We're very glad to have you with us. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Let me talk to you about a subject that most of us have thought went away with the end of the Cold War, which is the possibility that the United States could face a serious, to say nothing of mortal, threat from Russia. You've written recently with your colleague and my old friend and colleague, Mark Schneider, about the new Russian strategy, national security strategy specifically. Give us a flavor of what it says and what it portends.
Right. Let me start out just to draw the distinction between the way we in the West, and particularly in the United States, think about nuclear weapons and how Moscow appears to be thinking about nuclear weapons now. And I won't bore you with a long quote. I have a very short quote, but it's an open, unclassified quote from the National Intelligence Council. And this dates back to December 2012.
This is the U.S. National Intelligence Council.
This is the U.S. National Intelligence Council, exactly. So the nuclear ambitions in the U.S. and Russia over the last 20 years have evolved in opposite directions. Reducing the role of nuclear weapons in U.S. security strategy is a U.S. objective, while Russia is pursuing new concepts and capabilities for expanding the role of nuclear weapons in its security strategy. Close quote. That sentence captures very well what we saw in this most recent Russian national security strategy, and indeed what the Russian Federation and Moscow has been developing with regard to its thought about nuclear weapons for, let's say, approximately 15, 16 years. And I can describe that very, very briefly. It's a first use nuclear doctrine. And by that I mean what they talk about is the concept of escalating to de-escalate. And that might sound a little academic and odd, but the notion behind it is that Moscow will feel free to use nuclear weapons first in a conventional conflict on their periphery, and they're talking largely regional here, to use nuclear weapons first in a conventional conflict on their periphery with the anticipation that the first use of nuclear weapons will be enough to force the West to stand down. And the context for that threat is really what is most frightening, and that is the notion that as Russia seeks to expand its dominance, to reestablish, I guess I should say, its dominance into the what they call the post-Soviet space. And by that they mean the old territories of the Soviet Union and possibly beyond. As Moscow seeks to expand its reestablish its dominance by expanding its influence and its power and indeed even its territory into that post-Soviet space, the notion is if the West responds forcefully, militarily, then Russia says, we reserve the right to use nuclear weapons to make sure that the West backs down. In other words, it's a notion that says, we will use nuclear weapons coercively as a threat and operationally, if necessary, as part of this grand strategy to reestablish Russian dominance in the post-Soviet space. Well, that's kind of a mouthful.
Well, it's a critical insight. And Keith Payne, let me just, if I can sort of paraphrase what you've just said, we have for a long time considered nuclear weapons as essentially a last resort, really effectively unusable except in the most extreme circumstances. What you've just described and what, you know, even before this strategy was articulated, as you say, is Vladimir Putin has repeatedly made nuclear threats, first use nuclear threats against our allies, against our interests, even I think against us. And what you have implied, Keith Payne, and I want to ask you to explore this with us, is that this isn't just rhetoric. This isn't just doctrine. This is something that is being made potentially actionable by the kinds of developments that the Russians have been doing in this nuclear enterprise of theirs. Give us a flavor of what we think is going on there.
Well, what we tend to see is, let me back up just a second. What's visible to us is what they do in their exercises. And we can talk about what they do in their exercises to the extent that it's been discussed publicly, right? And so for in a recent public discussion by NATO, it was said that in an exercise, Russia carried out a mock nuclear attack on Sweden, a neutral. And Russia has made explicit nuclear threats to U.S. allies, particularly with regard to the U.S. missile defense program. If you get involved in the U.S. missile defense capability, you will be a nuclear target. In fact, the Russian ambassador to Denmark made that threat to Denmark. So what you see not only in this devolution of doctrine, we also see in the declaratory policy of Russian leaders issuing nuclear first-use threats against U.S. allies. So that's one. We see
exercising that first use as well in practice, yeah.
Correct. So we see it in exercises. We see it in public threats by Russian officials. We see it, I believe, in Russia's violation of arms control agreements. So when you, again, if you look at the public statements with regard to the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, the so-called crown jewel of arms control, it's clear, according to our own government findings, that Russia's in violation of that agreement. And you would ask, well, why would they violate that agreement? Well, because violating that agreement may give them the license, or at least gives them the license. Whether they do something about it, we'll see, but gives them the license to deploy nuclear systems in that theater, in the European theater, that helps back up this escalate-to-de-escalate doctrine that I've just described.
And Keith Payne, again, is our guest, Dr. Keith Payne of the National Institute for Public Policy and the head of a marvelous institution, the Graduate Department of Defense and Strategic Studies of Missouri State University. Talk about what's on the front end of those missiles to the extent we think we know. And again, this is all open source stuff, but what do we make of the seeming adaptation of the Russians' nuclear posture to enable them to use nuclear weapons first and perhaps decisively?
Right. And again, what the Russians talk about in terms of their nuclear capabilities for this purpose matches the purpose that we've just described, right? And so you see statements, for example, from Nikolai Mikhailov, who formerly was the director of a Russian Nuclear Weapons Institute and also first deputy of the defense ministry, first deputy defense minister, excuse me. Statements from, for example, Mikhailov have been to the effect of, well, here, you know, I have a very short one. I'll read it to you. The philosophy of thermonuclear weapons has changed today, and on the agenda is the development of high-precision and deep-penetration nuclear bombs. The low-yield warhead will be surrounded with super-hardened casing that makes it possible to penetrate 30 to 40 meters into rock and destroy a buried target. The notion here is that these weapons will be high precision, very low yield, they're described in other cases, so-called clean nuclear weapons, and that the use of them will not cause so much destruction. In other words, the destruction will be limited to the extent that it doesn't break the West's threshold for considering nuclear retaliation.
Especially given the very considerable constraints we now have in terms of our own nuclear posture, very large yield weapons that would be inappropriate as a response. Keith Payne, we're going to talk about that and more in a very important follow-on to our first segment with you. Thank you for sticking around. We'll have more with the author of The Great American Gamble, Deterrence Policy and Theory from the Cold War to the 21st Century, Dr. Keith Payne, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.